Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have a very interesting show for you today. I love it when our guests are diverse. Not that people being the same bores me, but the more we have different backgrounds, different abilities, different journeys, we can share them, and it just makes life that much more interesting. So I know, just taking a look at the information from today's guest, you're going to love today's show. But hey, friends have to watch too. That's what I always say every day, Monday, Friday. I'm going to invite you to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your neighborhood, in your network, in your house. I don't know. It might be your spouse. Someone is an entrepreneur. Someone is a small business owner. Someone needs assistance with their life. And they're not even going to know unless you go ahead and share the show with them, because friends, don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I'm also going to let you know what I tell you, and our guests don't know, but it's Friday. And what do I always say about Fridays? There are two shows you do not want to be on. That's my Monday show and my Friday show. Whew, I tell you, on Mondays, I've had way too much sleep. On Fridays, I haven't had enough sleep. I've been running. I've been going. I don't know. I might mess some things up, introduce the wrong person. Who knows what's going to happen today? But guess what? While you're going ahead and sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest, Mr. Ravi Katharia. He is a spiritual seeker on life's most important journey, from the mind to the soul. Ravi is the author of Happy Soul, Hungry Mind, a parable about modern, practical, and non-religious spirituality. It is the engaging story of a young entrepreneur struggling with business and family challenges, and a senior executive dealing with problems of his own creation. Good morning, Ravi. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am doing wonderful. Thank you for having me on the show. Thank you for the work that you do. And you look at even today's guests, it's amazing to learn about everyone today and the work that they're doing. We need people like your guests and yourself to make a difference in this world. This world is ready to move to the next level. So thank you. Thank you, Ms. Sharifa, for organizing this.
You are so welcome. And just so you know, Ravi, in a couple of days, you're going to see that little clip, that little excerpt as a commercial on my social media. Okay. Like that.
You know, as long as we discuss the royalty arrangement, I'm all for it. No.
There will be none. Just no.
I see that. That is end of negotiation.
Yes. Yes. Tell us about yourself, Ravi. Who are you? What do you do? And most importantly, what are you passionate about?
Yes. Oh, thank you. What a beautiful question. And I thank you for the introduction, because that introduction in which says that I'm a spiritual seeker on the journey from the mind to the soul. And I'm not unique in that. Every human being on earth, the 7 billion of us here, are on that same journey. And that is what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about sharing with everyone that spirituality, which is the focus of my book, is non-religious. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or a Hindu or a Jew or a Muslim or a Buddhist, or you're an atheist. Spirituality is there in all of us. And spirituality is really our destiny. It is our birthright, and it can change the quality of our life, right? And spirituality, as I see it, is accessible to everyone. It doesn't matter what gender you are, whether you're a man or woman or transgender, whether you're gay or straight or bisexual. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Every one of us has this amazing ability. It is the most fascinating gift that the universe has given to each one of us. And the more we tap into it, because it exists, it's like, we are all walking around with $1 billion in our back pocket, and we're not using it. It's ours. And so when we begin to tap into it, when we begin to access into it, our life can change. Our quality of life can improve, and this world can improve. I, of all the things that I have done in my life, I cannot see a more important purpose for me to pursue and to help the spiritual awakening in the world.
That was powerful, Robbie. I loved it. So let me just ask you this. I obviously, in your speaking, there was a clear distinction between religion and spirituality. Yes. And one of the things that I've seen and reports have shown that many people are turning away from organized religion in droves. But then there's also a more awakening of people going and saying, you know, or looking for spirituality because they still want something to feed their soul without putting it in a particular category. And being an ordained minister myself, someone who was raised Muslim and then went into non-denominational, I always make that very clear. It's about being spiritual and not necessarily being religious.
Yes. I use this example. It's a very simple example. Religion is like ground transportation to the airport. Mm-hmm. Now, some of us may use a bus or a train or a subway, or somebody might decide I'm an atheist. I'm not going to take organized transportation. I will drive myself. Now, how you get to the airport doesn't matter because at the airport, the gate agent does not ask you, Ms. Sharifa, how did you get here? They check your papers and let you board the flight. Now, what does the flight represent? The flight represents spirituality. Spirituality does not discriminate how you got to it. But once you get there, you can use religion if you have faith and devotion. You can absolutely use that as a vehicle. You don't have to change your beliefs. But you have to remember the goal of religion is to get to spirituality and take that flight. Because when we take that flight, that's when our life begins to change. We are, you know, we are all living life and we are overlooking the most important aspect of life. Because spirituality, like I said, is there within us. And when we begin to expose ourselves to the spiritual dimension, we go, wow, why have I spent my life and ignored this amazing gift that I have been given as a human being?
Absolutely. I love it. Robbie, I am going to come back to you. I want to go over to my next guest, Miss Lisa Ely. After finding 7 jobs out of 9 since 1991, in the last 25 years, the last few 6 figures plus, without a recruiter or even seeing the jobs advertised anywhere online, and helping hundreds to do the same, she learned one important thing about the hidden job market, that the vast majority of high-paying roles will be found without following the formal job sites, processes, and tiresome online application hurdles. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. I am doing amazing. So thank you for having me. This is, you know, this is a lot of fun already. I can tell. I'm looking forward to it. So for those of you who don't know me, maybe you're meeting me for the first time here on this platform. I'm Lisa Ely. I'm also known as a six-figure career mentor. And when I wrote that part in my bio, I had to really like look back. I had to like pinch myself, like literally, because it's true. In fact, I do a little poll and research all the time for the people that follow me, especially on LinkedIn, and ask them when they get new jobs, how you did it. And I'm going to tell you 9 out of 10 of the people say it's through networking. At the end of the day. In fact, it is the best way. Networking is so powerful, whether you're looking for a new career, growing your business, growing a ministry, selling a book or whatever that thing may be, right?
Yes.
That is the thing that drives that. And I know one of the things I want to share with you, because like, I got a chance to see a few of your episodes and I want to share with the audience what I'm passionate about. And so the one thing I'm passionate about is transforming people's lives, their careers, and helping them to grow 6-figure jobs and lives. And so that's the thing that I am really, really trying to do. And this year, you know, God gave me a vision that I'm going to help 300 people to do that this year. So that's what I'm passionate about. And what I know to be true is if you love your job, right, it translates back into your life and you love your life.
Yes.
So
I think that's powerful. I love your energy. Yes. I love your purple. I love your necklace. I love your smile. And I can see that you tuned in and watched a couple of your shows. Now, you know, people who tune into the show know I have to ask the hard questions, because there were people who will say, okay, well, networking is nice, but that means that they're not giving the jobs to the general public. They're just giving them to people they know. You think
ding. That is so true. Wow, Sharifa, you got the secret. How did you figure it out so quickly? Let me say this. So, you know, in some cases, by law, you do have to post a position. But I'll give you a clue on how you can tell if a position is just posted because of legality. Normally, some positions may be posted for 4 weeks, at least 3 weeks, and definitely 2 weeks. If a job is posted for like a week, that is a clear indication that they have a candidate already. But let me say this, if you're out there and you're just kind of like wondering, like, how do you then get on the inside? What you really, really do is go ahead and apply, right? Apply for the thing that is for you. Stretch yourself, right? Because that's where, you know, the company I lead is Dare to Dream Careers, and you have to dare to dream to get the big job and to get the six figures and beyond. And so what's so important about that is that you never know what else is open on the other side, because like I said, the secret is every job just doesn't get posted because it doesn't have to. So you've got to put yourself out there. You know, I shared this yesterday with a group that I was talking to. You know, I love basketball, and you got to shoot your shot, because if you don't shoot your shot, there's no chance of you getting 3 points or 2 points or anything, right? Mm-hmm. You at least got to shoot the shot to get a foul, right?
Right.
Foul line, because if you ain't shooting, right, you're just going to go to the out, out of bounds, and then you're just going to throw the ball in. But at least if you shoot your shot, it's a chance it could go in, depending on where you stand. It could be 3 points or 2 points. And depending on where you were standing, that's how many shots you get at the free throw line. Mm-hmm. So what I say to anybody out there, whether you are looking for a career, a business, ministry, or even like Sharifa on this show, like, she is networking to make this happen. She is shooting her shot, right? At the end of the day. So my thing is, yes, networking can be tough, but shoot your shot. I tell people to do this, do something scare every day, right? For all of us on the show today, write that down. Do something scare every day.
Yes. Yes, write that down. And also after you write that down, write down, shoot your shot. Because I just love that on every example of life, just everything. You know, so many people are so afraid of not looking right, or what people will say, or what will happen, or not getting the job, or not getting the position, or not getting the interview. Like Lisa said, just go ahead and shoot your shot. You never know what can happen. I always tell people, I have had so many doors and opportunities open for me just because I had a positive attitude in a bad situation.
Yes,
you know, so just do it. Just be there and just be positive. Lisa, I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Jaquin Maddox. She's a native of Pittsburgh. She has lived in Denver, Colorado since 1984. She is the mother of one daughter and the grandmother of three grandsons. Since 1986, Jaquin has worked for the University of Colorado, and she has her own business. Jaquin, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
You are
so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. And events, you're into events. Tell us about yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
Okay. It's a lot of times it's hard for me to talk about myself, but I find that I need to get out of that mindset. And like Lisa said, shoot my shot. So I'm going to shoot my shot. That's what I did when I went ahead and branched out and do my own event planning business, which started from a love of my family and putting together, you know, those Christmas parties, those picnics in the park, and anything that we needed to do as a family. And coming from back home and us being out here, basically not knowing a lot of people, I started doing the events for my family. That grew into a love for doing events. The gratification that I got from seeing the smiles on my family and friends' faces, like, wow, how did you do this? This is so beautiful. And that it was at that moment that I realized that this is what I really love to do. I didn't go to school for it and have formal training for it. So I view this as my gift. It's my gift to be able to bring things together and make them beautiful. In the middle of the pandemic, I decided to go ahead and shoot my shot and go for it and officially launch my event planning business. I've been doing events for over a decade, but not in an official capacity. So I had the time now. I was at home working from home and couldn't go anywhere else even after I logged off work. So I started investing in myself and taking a lot of webinars, joining some different organizations and women like me, men and women, excuse me, in the event planning field, and got all the education I could and took what I learned and what I already knew. And I decided to go ahead and go for it, which is what I'm very passionate about. I love celebrations. I love love. And I want to be that one to make that happen for everyone.
That's
or
wonderful.
As much as I can.
You might pick a number. Lisa says she's helping 300 people. You know, pick a number. How many people you want to help? But I agree with you. It is a gift. And it just happens to be one of the gifts that I do not have. I tell people I was blessed with the gift of gab and the gift of manifestation. But if I try to organize something and set up an event, it's just going to be a tablecloth with a candle on it. Like, that's all I have. But I have a good friend, one of my closest friends, one of my besties. She has her business, Skinny Cookies. And every time I do an event, I'm having my 45th birthday on the 31st of March. She does all the decorating and making it look pretty. Cause if it's left up to me, it's not, they just gonna have paper towels and water for dinner, you know? So, but how is it launching a business in the middle of, I mean, especially out of all the businesses? Because, I mean, you talking about shooting your shot. That took some courage to launch an event planning business in the middle of a global pandemic. Talk to me about that one.
Right. I know. Some people like, and I even had someone to tell me, this is not what you should do. This is, you know, this is not a good time for you to do this. And maybe you should go into just doing virtual, learning how to do virtual and hybrid events. And I was like, first of all, I don't know anything about that. I'm going to learn about it. And I know it's going to be a part of who we are. But I decided that this, I was going to take this situation and come out better on the other side. I wanted to take these lemons that I was given and make me some good old lemonade. And I said, this is a time for me to invest in myself. So I had a decision to make. Am I going to get bogged down and just fall out and let this overcome me? Or am I going to do what I have always done, which is try to make the best of it and come out better? So that's what I decided to do. Yes, in the midst of everything being shut down, we didn't know if we were ever going to do another event. But to me, I was looking at the positive. I was looking at what was the outcome going to be and not necessarily what was in front of me right now. So I decided to go ahead, do what I needed to do because I was given this time. This was like a gift to me to have this time where I could do nothing but sit here, hone in on my craft, do better, get more information, find out how I can be a better me so I could be a better me for me and my clients. And so it was, you know, I was working against the odds, but that motivated me that, you know, this is not going to overtake me. I'm going to do this regardless of my circumstances in the situation.
Absolutely. And it's a gift because you mentioned making lemonade. See, I would make lemonade, but I know when you made the lemonade, it would have a little lemon peel in the cup and it have a little umbrella on a nice saucer. You know what I mean? Like, that's a gift. That is a gift. Now, Jaquin, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, Miss Hannah Kuspira. Hannah co-owns Knowledgeable with her husband. They work together. This is cool. I got plenty of questions. He's not here today, but I'm sorry. I got distracted. Knowledgeable provides career advising resources to ambitious young people in their pursuit of prosperity and value. They believe that their careers exist for more than just making money. and it's their goal to help young people find successful careers in fields that they can make an impact and provide abundantly for themselves and their families. Good morning, Hannah. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing really well. Excited to be here. I love that Lisa and I have similar fields. I'm very passionate about networking as well. So I was feeling what she was saying there for sure.
You are so welcome. And when I was reading, I thought the same thing. And I always tell people, I don't know how, it just somehow works out that way where guests have a similar kind of background. So that's interesting. So Hannah, what are you passionate about?
Well, I am passionate about providing resources, especially to young people. So as a young person myself, I interact with a lot of young people. People in my network are in the beginning stages of their careers. And I have been really, really lucky that I've had resources at my fingertips. I've had a lot of fantastic mentors. I've had a lot of people who have really helped me to get quite far in my career, even though I am not that old. So I am really passionate about turning around and providing those resources to other people who are in a similar boat and feeling those frustrations and those uncertainties, especially as they're transitioning out of either high school into maybe a career path or into university and then out of that and into their career path. So there's just, I actually work full-time as a recruiter as well as owning Knowledgeable with my husband, which I'm excited for those questions. So the thing I found as well as a recruiter is that a lot of the people that I was not able to help quite as much, I wanted to be able to provide resources to. So whether that's helpful articles or webinars, seminars, I was investing a lot of time in that. And that's really where Knowledgeable came from. It came from this desire to provide those resources that I couldn't find elsewhere. I wasn't really able to find what I wanted someone to read or access. And so I just decided, okay, with my husband, who is incredible, kind of behind the scenes doing all the back end stuff, we were like, okay, well, we have to be the ones to provide that to the people in our network and beyond. So that was really the birthplace of Knowledgeable. And we're really excited about everything we've been able to kind of create so far.
Okay, so we talk about networking. It's something I often discuss with entrepreneurs. And one of the mistakes that I see entrepreneurs make with networking is that they go in for what I consider the sale too fast. Like you just meet someone and it's like, oh my God. And I'm like, calm down. Yeah. You know, what are your thoughts on that? And what are some of the mistakes that you see people making with networking?
Absolutely. So I've seen the sales thing as well. A lot of my kind of full-time job is more of a sales type role. So I have been wary of those mistakes for sure. I think networking is birthed. It needs to be birthed from curiosity. That's my personal foundation for all networking is coming from a place of curiosity. Because if you are legitimately curious about someone else, what they do, what their company does, curious about how you might be able to help them, curious about how they might be able to help you, you come at it with this sense of openness and without this sense of salesiness, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so easy, especially for the people that I work with and coach on their career development, they want a job, right? So they come at it with like, hey, person on LinkedIn, I need a job, help me get a job.
Right.
It's one way to do it. But the problem is it doesn't show value two ways. Networking is always a two-way value-added conversation. And if you come at it with a sense of curiosity, you can actually say to that person, hey, really interested in your background working in this field. I would be very curious to understand more about why you got into it. And that person is going to be much more open to talking to you than when you say, hey, I need a job, help me get a job, right? So I find networking is 100%, if you can come at it from a place of curiosity, it will just guide your path so much more smoothly.
Hannah, very, very well said. In my business life, I'm an executive coach, and it's a great point. I've always told people who go out to network is the first thing you have to do is listen and talk. If you start talking first, that person is going to lose interest in you. So listen. And then they will invite you to tell them about you. And then when that happens, they are listening to you.
Yes. And build a rapport You know, that's the my main thing is please build a rapport, have a relationship. I was on LinkedIn years ago, and then I had over 10,000 connections, and I just deleted everything. And people would say, you have to be on LinkedIn. I don't have to be on anything. I didn't feel like, I felt like there were too many people who had access to me. And then last year, when I relaunched the Roundtable Talk Show, I said, okay, I went back on LinkedIn, connected with a lot of different people. And then it happened again. I get these LinkedIn requests from strangers I don't know. And I'm nice. I'm an open, you know, networker. So I accept them. And then 5 seconds later, I get a message that says, hi, Sharifa, I give out sales leads. Let's schedule a call for, you know, to speak. And I'm like, I don't just schedule calls with people and I have, you know what I mean? Like, that's just me. And I try not to be rude, but
yes.
I'd love to hear your thoughts.
You threw the ball to me?
Yes, the ball. Yes, shoot your shot.
Shoot my shot. I'm shooting my shot. So let me say this. That is the worst thing you can do when you're really trying, you know, if you're trying to connect with someone. That's why they call it, it's like connect with them. I will tell you, you know, as an entrepreneur, there are people who do B2B, right? And they want to sell to me. And I will tell you what they do is I connect. Cause I'll pretty much, you know, if you're, you know, up and up and you've got a nice profile, I'll connect you because I'm interested. I'm curious. I will tell you, I'm like you, Sharifa. I'm following the shiny things, right? I gotta be careful about that. So I will connect, but I'm gonna tell you, in 1 second you're connecting to me, and then in the next second, like you're not even gonna take me to dinner, and you already trying to go to, you know, get a home run, you know what I mean? Run the bases on me. No way. And I will tell people, you know, at least take me to dinner first. You know, so
I like, you know, you, Lisa. Friday,
it's Friday. So when I worked,
it's Friday.
Friday. When I worked in corporate, we used to call Friday inappropriate Friday.
Yes.
So Sharifa, you might have been in trouble having me coming on Friday. I hope it's not any young kids out there watching this. So. Never mind what I just said.
That's good lesson, Lisa. That's good lesson.
So, but you know, at the end of the day, you are exactly right. So I do a lot of campaigns and I use some automation on my LinkedIn. I will tell you that. But what I do is after the person connects, you know what I say? I just simply say this. Hey, whatever like day it is, whatever's happening, I'm like, happy Friday. You know, it's amazing. Thank you so much for connecting. If it's anything I can ever do, let me know. Have a great day, whatever. That's it. You know, and then, you know, something may come up if I'm doing like, you know.
So Lisa and Hannah, what do you recommend? How do you coach the younger folks on how to leverage LinkedIn? What are good LinkedIn etiquettes and how do they achieve success via LinkedIn networking?
That's a good, it's a great question. I know Lisa probably has some insight as well. but yeah, I think because of the pandemic, we've had to rely more on LinkedIn networking, right? So just start with that. There's a lot more LinkedIn networking going on right now. So that's both a good thing and a bad thing. So I always try and advise people, remember that the people you're connecting with have probably received 20 to 30 connection requests a day. So if you put, first just put that hat on, right? Like put that hat on, think about what it feels like to get 20 or 30 randomized messages a day, and then approach it with how are you gonna set yourself apart from everyone else? Because it's so easy to be another person reaching out on LinkedIn. But it takes a little extra effort and forethought to set yourself apart from the rest of the people, right? So I always say, okay, put on that hat first. Step one, let's imagine you're in the other shoe. Step two, I always advise to do some research on the person. So Lisa had a great example with B2B. That's the biggest downfall of B2B salespeople is that they don't look at the other person's profile at all. They'll just send a message that's the same to everyone. And it turns into not being a meaningful connection, right? So you always want to make sure that you've done some research, like just go and look at their profile. They might have gone to a school that you are familiar with, taken a course that you might care about. They might have posted something interesting for me, maybe about like health and wellness in the workplace. If they posted something interesting about that, I'm for sure going to add that in the comments, like when I do a LinkedIn connection request. Yes. Just do a little research for 20, 30 seconds. You're probably going to find something of interest to you.
Yes.
And then refer to that when you type your connection request.
Yes. Great point. Hannah, I think we lost you there. Sharif, I'm jumping in. I'm becoming conscious of how much I'm jumping in, but I hope that's all right. But
I'll let you know when it's not. Believe me, I'm good at what I do.
Please let me know when I'm monopolizing. But I love the point that Hannah made, is because as an executive coach, just in the last few months, I must have received over 100 requests by people who want to generate sales leads for me.
Yes, right? that's the big one. That's the big one. And Hannah said 20 to 30.
Yes, I have advised companies on sales strategies. And when you're going out and selling, the most important thing is to understand the quality of your lead and the quality of the opportunity. So if you're just going to throw seeds all over the place and hope something sprouts, well, you're going to need a lot of luck, as yes. opposed to focusing on that patch of ground, which already is moist and has rich soil. And then you put seeds there, those seeds have a much greater. So that's the point, is that even in LinkedIn or any networking, as Lisa pointed out, is you want to understand the audience before you go in. You want to know which audience is there, and you need to target whom you're going to talk to and understand what they are about and what drives them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Robbie, let's let Lisa answer the question that you asked, because when Lisa was speaking and she was talking about the message, even though it was automated, I have no problem with automation. That's one of the things that I often discuss when people ask about social media and automation tools. I love tools. I don't use automation tools because I think so many people do a set it and forget it, where it's posting, but they're not going back to respond to the comments. I believe there's no comment that goes unanswered. If you send me a LinkedIn message, there's no message that goes unanswered. I always answer them. So I love what Lisa said about this warm welcome, because I honestly would have responded to it. When people, the thing that irritates me more than anything else is when it's that sales one and they say, you know, it's just connecting. Sharifa, I sell this. Let's schedule a time to call, to talk. Here's my scheduling link. And I'm like, what are we talking about? That's my question. I always respond back. I don't mean to be rude, but what are we discussing? Before we even set this schedule, what are we, you know, how do you know I want to talk about what you want to talk about? So that's just me. I'm on my soapbox today because it's Friday. Lisa, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no. So I appreciate that. Let me say this. I think it's simple. You hit it right on the nail on the head. You can't just do one or the other. And in the world we live in, if you're working in your business and on your business, in your vision, on your vision, in your dream, on your dream, whatever that thing is, you just can't stretch yourself that thin. And so what it does is it helps soften and open the door to a conversation. The thing I will tell you this that is really great, I have a rule of three, and I'm going to share this because I like sharing real, real stuff. The rule of three, even if you're an entrepreneur or not, is only three contacts, but don't make them the same. The thing I love about LinkedIn is if you download the app on your phone, you can actually send a voicemail message or you can send a video. Mm-hmm. Now, you can send a video to somebody, a personal video. Now, what I like to do is I use an app called Loom, Loom.com. Yep. It is free. And I go to the person's page on LinkedIn and I say, hey, Sharifa. What is going on? I love your profile. I would love to connect with you when you have time. I know we've connected a few months ago. We never got a chance to check in. I just want to see how you're doing. Let me know if you're interested. And so, you know, and I may say some other things depending on kind of like where our conversation has gone. I still don't send a link until the person says yes. And it literally, it's just, it's like a, it could be a minute or a 90-second message, or you could just do the video, the audio on your phone, like when you're waiting, you know, so say like you're waiting, you know, in between meetings or something like that, you have like 2 or 3 minutes and you're like, okay, what can I do in 5 minutes? Right. And those are some of the things that you can do in 5 minutes, and that, like that, shoot your shot. Right. And yeah, see what happens. I say, test some stuff out. Get outside of your comfort zone, do something different. So,
but Lisa, I like that. I really do. But let me just say this. The little thing is, I love the way you do social media. It's so warm. It's so friendly. It's so inviting. And I would watch your video because you had some information in the text. What happens to me is, like, I remember one specific conversation the other day, the guy sends me the inbox message and he says, hi, my name is Michael. Here's the video. Or no, hi, my name is Michael. And then he's put a link to his video. And then like 5 days later, he comes back and he goes, did you watch the video? And I go, no. And he's like, why did you watch the video? I said, because you just sent me a video. I don't have the time in my day to just sit and watch random videos. Now, however, like Lisa said, if you say, hi, this is Lisa, I just wanted to give you a brief introduction on me, I would watch it. Because it's telling me what I'm about to watch and giving me the ability to decide what information, you know, I want to be aware of. Jaquen, yeah, if you want to make a successful event planning business, what you're doing, networking, I'm pretty sure is important. What are your thoughts on this conversation?
Networking is very important. And as Lisa said, and as you have said, you have to be authentic in your reach, because people can see through that. And to me, you need to build that rapport with your clientele first, with people you want to work with. You can't just go in, just start talking about what you want to do. If I've learned nothing else, that was one of the first things that I learned when I started doing all this, you know, educating myself about how to do this in the official capacity and not just on referrals and doing what I want to do. But that has been one of the biggest things that I've learned, was that you have to be authentic. Find out about the person, see what they like, what they don't like. And like she said, it takes 20, like Hannah said, takes 20 to 30 seconds to look up something about them. If you follow them on social media, you know what they like, you know what they, you know, what their likes and dislikes are. So you use those things. And to me, some people say, well, that's not being authentic. Yes, it is. You're getting to know them. And if you really want to know them, you want to know what they like and what they don't like before you just go in. You need to make that connection. I totally agree with that. And that's something that I've been working on and something that I didn't know. I was just, like I said, when I was just doing my business the way I wanted to do it, which was just by referrals, people would say, well, I know you can, you know, you can do this. You could be a chairman and you can put this event together. But they knew of me. They knew what I can do. So, but yes, I totally agree with that. Networking is good, but you have to do it in the right way for it to be successful.
Absolutely. Ravi, you're an author. You have a book. Do you use networking to get your book out there?
Oh, absolutely. I'm doing networking now with the best networkers in the business. Absolutely. You know, the book is fabulous. Now, I take that with a grain of salt. I wrote it.
If you do say so.
Yes, but it doesn't matter how good the book is or any idea is or how good your own capabilities. If you do not go out and let people know that you exist or that that idea exists or that skill exists, people are not going to find out about you, right? And so you have to network. You have to go out and be an advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful because there are some people who become advocates, but it's not based on authenticity. They're not genuine. So you want to be genuine, right? You want to be authentic, but you have to be an advocate. When I coach executives, even in companies, I say, it's not sufficient to just do good work and do great work. You have to go out, even in your own company, and let your management and your management's management, right? Three levels higher, understand the work you're doing. Only that's how you're going to get a promotion. Otherwise, you're going to be sitting on your desk in your office and doing great work, and you're waiting for somebody to knock. So I heard this guru in India say this, and that struck me. He said the lion is the king of the jungle, right? That's indisputed. But even the lion has to go out and hunt. The sheep is not going to show up to the lion's den and say, okay, I'm here, you are the king, so just eat me. Let's be done with it. The lion has to go out. The king and of that, the jungle has to go out and hunt. Well, then all of us have to do. We all have to go out and network.
Yeah.
And we have to share our ideas. And what I have found, it's interesting. My business life overlaps with Jaquin and Elisa and Hannah so much because I have a firm that holds corporate meetings. We hold corporate conferences. In fact, there is a big conference we are doing up. So there is overlap between all of us today. It's interesting to me how this has come together. But you talk about networking. I was about to say this point. You never know how the dots are going to connect. So, you know, sometimes you decide, well, should I go to this event or not? Should I do this or not? And you begin to talk yourself out of it. Mm-hmm. You say, well, why should I go on the Sharifa show? I don't know, right? It's in the morning. Maybe I can do something. But you never know.
That's right.
Once you get on the show, which guests you're going to connect with, how you're going to connect with Sharifa itself, what is going to get said, mm-hmm. and who might be listening.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know. Oprah could decide this morning, I want to listen to Sharifa, and she listens to what I just said about religion versus spirituality, and she goes, you know what? I've been asking my guests for 20 years. Oprah, I hope you're listening. And you started listening to Sharifa, Oprah, please come on. Right?
I've never had that happen. I love it. And, you know? And I don't know if you caught yesterday's show, the guest on the show, she has cancer. And she has been going through her treatments, her chemo treatments for the last 2 weeks. And she said on the show, she was going to cancel. But she decided not to, and she was so glad that she didn't cancel because of the conversation and the people that she met. So I completely agree. I love bringing people together. Yes. Now, Hannah, when Robbie was speaking, I heard some mm-hmm, some yes. You were definitely agreeing. What are your thoughts, Hannah?
Yeah, it's funny that Robbie, you brought that up, that you can be doing all the good work and still not get ahead. Because I actually wrote that down this morning as something that I might share today. So it's really funny that Robbie brought that up. Because I think that's one of the hardest things for the younger generation who are just kind of starting their careers, is that self-advocation is really hard. It's really hard. You think you're just another cog in the wheel or just another person, you know, going about your day, but you have to be able to share what you're bringing to the table in a way that helps get the attention of the people around you. It's the only way to progress your career forward. So you have to advocate for your skill sets. Like, doing good work is not enough to progress your career forwards.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Great point. I have spoken to MBA students. I share this point. Maybe we should do one more event on the business side, because this concept, what I call intrapreneurship, is being an entrepreneur inside the corporation.
Yes.
You know, so many of our young kids go into companies, but they need to think like an entrepreneur on the outside, mm-hmm. and then make those connections. It's really important. Yes. I want to make this point, and I want to applaud Hannah. In her description, Sharifa, you talked about, Hannah is helping young people understand that life is a lot more about money. And young people, you know, because when I go and talk to young people and say, what do you want, right? You're going to graduate. What are you looking to do? And the thing that they overwhelmingly tell me, I want to make money. And I go, oh my God, these guys and girls need to understand that life is so much better and bigger. And they need to change their perspective when they're 20 years old. And then they can have a more fulfilling life. So Hannah, thank you. Appreciate you focusing on that.
Thank you. I think, and Robbie, I'd be interested in the rest of the guests too. I think you need to know, why is the money important? Like, you're kind of taught, I want to make money because you're supposed to, but why? Like, what is the money going to do for you in your life outside of your job? Like, what is the impact of that money, or, you know, whatever that salary range is? Why is that important to you? What is that going to get you in your life outside of your work? It's not about money. It's about the larger life, societal, cultural impact that that money can make, right?
I definitely agree, because I remember back in, it was roughly, I think, 2010 when The Science of Getting Rich was like an ebook that went out. And I actually went to a Science of Getting Rich seminar, and the representative, she asked the question, she asked everybody, what do you want? And the person said, I want, you know, $1 million. Another person said, I want, you know, $500,000. Some person said, you know, I'm not greedy, I'll take $50,000. The person said, okay, well, what do you want the money for? And one person said, I want to travel the world. And then one person said, I want to put my kids through college. And then another person said, whatever it is they want. She said, then what you want is to put your kids through college. What you want is to travel. And I really use that in my life. And I would really understand that the how is up to God. And I don't focus on how I'm going to get it, because the money is the how. I focus on what I want and then allow things to happen. And Lisa, you're smiling, you're nodding. Talk to me, Lisa. It's Friday.
Oh, that is a good book. But also, let me say this. I believe exactly what you're saying. Money is energy, and it must have a purpose. Yes. It must connect with your big why. And oftentimes why we fail in manifesting our big dreams in life and our business and careers and all of that is because we say we want the money, right? And money just flows like energy, like air, but it doesn't have a purpose in your life. And so if you believe, I'm a believer, I know Sharifa, we have a lot in common. I'm a seminary graduate, licensed ordained minister. I serve now in an AME church, but let me say this. See, I believe that God, some people say universe, higher power, wants to give us the desires of our heart, but he's got to know what that is. And there's receptacles waiting to be filled for each of us, but you haven't identified the purpose. So you're so right.
I mean, because even scripture tells you that it is my pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jaquan, you're over there. Jaquan, you over there nodding and shouting. We're having some fun here today. Talk to me.
That is so very true. We have not because we ask not.
Amen. And when we ask, we ask not amiss.
That's it. That's it. So, and we perish for the lack of knowledge. So I just feel that the money comes, it to me, the joy that I have for what I do and what I want to do and my purpose, the money will come from that. It's going to show, it's going to produce that. You gotta, that joy produces profit. That's just how I feel. I'm not going for it after the money. The money is great, but the gratification, because I know I can't satisfy everybody. I'm not going to make everybody happy. That's a given. But if I can do what I can do, and at the end of the day, long as I know I've done all that I thought I could do, and I've made, even if it's just one person happy, I'm okay with that.
Yes.
And I love that
relationship with money. I want to share this with you. I was coaching this executive. He told me he was worth $100 million. Very rich man, very successful. But guess what? He was miserable. And you know why he was miserable? He wanted to earn $1 billion. He was just every morning, and he would be upset if you go and talk to him because he was not able to grow his wealth. And I thought about it, and $100 million is a lot of money to me. I was coaching him. And I was thinking, but the man is just driven, and I was helping him get to $1 billion, but it's the relationship with money.
Yes.
Even in my book, it's a book of spirituality, but it really is if you look at the two men, majority of the problems are coming because they do not understand how they're pursuing money and how it is trapping them.
Yeah. So Robbie, this man with $100 million, what's his name and number?
I know that's right.
You know what I mean? Because I want to coach him too. I want to talk to him.
Sharifa, I
on the round table talk show too.
Yeah, I coached him, and then I had to step away from him.
Okay, that sounds like a whole nother story. I want to go back to what
Jaquan. You talked about energy, and I think Lisa talked about money being energy. I realized earlier in life that there are some people whose energy helps me blossom, and there are some people whose energy, you know, puts me on the back foot. And so I am susceptible to that. So I begin to distance myself. I mean, if I had stayed with him, it would have been very profitable for me. Obviously, very powerful man, and he could do it. But, you know, in life, you have to make the trade-offs. You say, okay, all right, I really want to. And I, and yes. At that point, I didn't realize that I was going so, you know, I was going to end up on this spiritual path. But
yes, and it's powerful. It's a wonderful path for you to be on. I like what Jaquint has said about you have not because you ask not. And that really is one of my favorites. But I always say it, the whole, you know, part of it is you have not because you ask not. And when you ask but amiss. Meaning what Hannah was saying, the mindset of not believing and not having the faith that even when you ask for it, you're going to receive it. So change your mindset, change your belief and your faith, and walk forward with the full faith that you are going to receive what you have asked for. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I absolutely love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who's watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we have a few minutes, but we're going to go ahead and start with you, Robbie.
Every one of us has an ocean, an infinite ocean of peace. You have it in you. It is within you. All you have to do is tap into it. Tap into your ocean of peace and then watch your life completely transform. You have no idea what you're missing out if you haven't experienced your peace within. So please, at your core, you are peace. Be who you are. Be peace. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Sharifa, for having me today. Thank you to all the guests for such a wonderful conversation.
You are so welcome. And where can people find your books?
At Amazon, both my books. I have a business book, How Cohesive Is Your Company, which I wrote a few years ago. And then my recent book, the spirituality book, non-religious spirituality book, Happy Soul, Hungry Mind on Amazon. And of course, my website, happysoulhungrymind.com.
I love it. I love it. Thank you, Ravi. Hannah, what do you have for us?
Awesome. Well, yes, that was an incredible conversation. I'm so, so glad to have been a part of this today. And I love when great conversations and cohesive conversations happen. So this is really exciting. But yes, I want to leave you with the fact that as a young person, it can be incredibly daunting to think about the rest of your career all in one go. So take it one step at a time, one connection at a time, and one curiosity at a time. Really reflect on who you are, what you're curious about, and let your curiosity drive your career, because you're going to find that joy and that peace that Ravi was talking about as well, as you let that guide your career decisions. So if you want to find more about me, you can go to our website, so www.knowledgeable.com, knowledgeable.com, which is a play on words to be knowledgeable and also to know the job, but in French, know the job. It's very punny. I like to be punny.
It's very unique. I like it. So we didn't get to, I didn't get to ask all my nosy questions about your husband. So next time we're just going to bring him back and yeah. I'll ask him then.
He's watching today. So if you want to we can definitely do a joint appearance, or I can bring him on next time for sure.
Bring him on. If he's watching, I need some comments, because you seem like a lovely lady, and we need Joseph's take on, is this the real you? No, I'm just kidding. Jaquint, talk to us.
What I like for everyone to take away is that even though we're in a pandemic, we can still celebrate. We can still celebrate love. We can still be happy and celebrating, and we can do so beautifully and safely, and make sure that whoever you work with, that they have the knowledge and they're going to be able to keep you safe. I took it a step further. I went and took a course and became a pandemic compliance advisor, just so I get the nitty gritty of what it is to have an event and do it safely. And if something happens, what's going to happen when, if someone outbreaks with it, having that exit plan, having those things in place, having the venue being held accountable, those things I've done to take, to go a step further. It's more than just about getting the money and doing that. It's about celebrating love in the midst of everything that we're going on, because love still wins. We're still going to celebrate those milestones on your job. We're still going to celebrate those goals for those companies. And we're still going to celebrate those anniversaries. And we're going to do it. And we're going to do it safely and beautifully. And I am more than happy to help you to do that. And I would be honored if I could. And I can be reached at yoursbydesign13@gmail.com. And the S's are Z's. So it's YOURZBYDEZIGN 13@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook. I am in the midst of relaunching my new website. And I'll also be on social media for Facebook and Instagram soon. Thank you. Wow.
You are so welcome. That's kind of cool. You hit me at the end with the compliance. And I'm like, I didn't even know that was a position. That was a thing. So yeah, we'll have to bring you back as well so I can ask some more questions about that. Thank you. Lisa, what do you have for us?
Sure. So again, thank you, Sharifa. Thank you for all the panelists. I learned a ton of things. This was so much fun for a Friday, also known as Inappropriate Friday. But I want to say this, for people who want to reach me in general, you can reach me at my website, lisaeely.com. But I want to offer a couple of things. So I do a talk every noon on Tuesday on Clubhouse. It's a new app. If you are out there, we talk about forward thinking, career things, life, spirituality, partner with a bunch of other people. In addition to that, I am doing a free, no cost, complimentary, free. Can you say it with me? F-R-E-E, free. Masterclass on March 13th. You can get the information at www.cashinonyourcareer.com. And I would love to offer that free class for people who are looking for a way to cash in and just connect with me at lisaeely.com. This was amazing. You talked about all the things I love, networking, mindset, and money. So thank you again, Sharifa. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for holding this space, this sacred space, I'm going to say, for all of us. And I lift you in the work that you're doing. You are doing amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I received that. And that's going to be a commercial as well, just so you know. But is Clubhouse available on Android yet?
It's not. It's almost.
That's what's getting terrible. Me. I'm like, oh my God, all my cool friends are on Clubhouse and I can't host the party.
It's coming. They say it's coming. But let me say this, get ready. Because it's blowing up. It's amazing. I'm gonna tell you why I like Clubhouse. I'm gonna say this little thing right quick. Because I don't have to put on no fancy necklace and I don't have to put no makeup on. It's all talk and I'm all talk. So I love it.
Well, you can see from the backdrop, I'm all talk. That's what I was born to do, talk. So I'm like, I wanna be on Clubhouse and they won't invite me to the party. This has been a very Inappropriate Friday. I loved it. I have enjoyed the show, loved the guests. Conversation was amazing. I wanna thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially wanna thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important, doesn't mean we still don't need your support, because we do. Whether you watch the show 2 days from now, 2 months from now, or 5 years from now, we still need you to go ahead and support the show and share the show, because our guests are here with you this morning to share their information, their journeys, and their truth with you. So please support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. Visit their websites, follow them on social media, reach out to them. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed weekend. Bye now.